Welcome to On My Walk, a reading podcast that helps you capture some of those aha moments from reading and apply them to your life and to your leadership. Well, I'm sailing off to the land of new books, and next week I'll have a few things to say about Greg McEwen's Essentialism, and I want to share at least one podcast from Jason Matthews' Red Sparrow. But before I step onto those shores, I want to glance back one last time to Founding Brothers by Joseph Ellis. You say, why? Well, because on page 243, I read one of the most beautiful lines about friendship that I have ever seen. Now, I don't know whether to give you the line now or later, because when you hear it, it is so surprising. And it's surprising, first of all, because it comes from the pen of the feisty, bombastic, argumentative, volatile, and brilliant John Adams. The same John Adams about whom Ellis said, "The only meaningful kind of conversation was an argument." The same John Adams who called Alexander Hamilton, a man he loathed, the bastard brat of a Scottish peddler. Well, strong words. Now, Adams' words that I'm going to share with you are even more surprising in that the line about friendship is in reference to another person he had grown to hate. Now, note my choice of words. He had also grown to hate, and that person would be Thomas Jefferson. Okay, now at this point, I've decided not to share that beautiful line about friendship just yet because, hear this, we need to understand a bit of the complicated relationship between these two founding brothers, John Adams and Thomas Jefferson. Now, Benjamin Rush, remember that name, Benjamin Rush considered John Adams and Thomas Jefferson as the North and South Poles of the American Revolution. And that seems an apropos statement in that they were so different from each other. Jefferson, he was even-tempered. Adams was explosive. Jefferson was a master of words. Adams, he was a master of oratory. Jefferson was from the South, Virginia. Adams was from Massachusetts, the North. Jefferson wrote the Declaration of Independence, but it was Adams who was contesting for and hashing through all the messiness to even get the delegates to the place where they would agree to a Declaration of Independence. Jefferson was elusive. Adams was in your face. And I think it was, in part, that last difference, the sense of Jefferson being elusive and Adams being in your face, that accounts for this giant chasm that had developed between these two patriots. Once upon a time, they were among that revolutionary band of brothers. They were great collaborators. They were dear friends. But now, they had become enemies at odds with political philosophies that were about as far apart as the North and South Poles they represented. Listen to what Ellis says. They had done so much together, struggled together against the odds in 1776, represented America in Europe in the 1780s, risen above their political differences during Washington's administration. But during his own presidency, Adams believed that Jefferson had betrayed him and their friendship. And it was all done so indirectly, so craftily, like a burglar who left no fingerprints. Now, that's what Ellis writes. And it didn't help that Adams was bitter that Jefferson, as the one who drafted the Declaration of Independence, in Adams' words, ran away with the stage effect and all the glory of it. I mean, Adams was really bothered that Jefferson was getting all the praise for the Declaration of Independence as the singular moment in American history, when in Adams' mind, come on, it's one piece of paper. It's everything that transpired before that that really made the difference. Well, and then there was this exchange of letters between Jefferson and Abigail Adams over Jefferson's really sense of gross duplicity that ultimately resulted in an 8 to 9 year silence between these two once friends. So you had two people incredibly close together, and then things went silent. So let me give you the setting. You've got two revolutionary patriots at odds and on the opposite sides of what seems to be an impassable wall. But something happened around 1809 that began to mend the wound, that plugged the leak of animosity, that raised a ladder over the wall of differences. And that something was so significant that between 1812 and their deaths on the same day, July 4, 1826, that Jefferson and Adams began a 14-year exchange of letters. Now, Ellis says about this, that it was a correspondence that's generally regarded as the intellectual capstone to the achievements of the revolutionary generation and the most impressive correspondence between prominent statesmen in all of American history. Those are some strong words. And that something that happened was the friendship negotiator, the person who knocked down the first domino of difference between Adams and Jefferson and kept knocking them down until 2 years before his death, Adams would write these words about Thomas Jefferson. He said, "While I breathe, I shall be your friend." Listen to how Ellis describes the feelings of admiration between these two friends near the end of their lives.
"The vicissitudes of aging began to crowd out the more controversial topics. Crippled wrists and fingers make writing slow and laborious," Jefferson complained. "But while writing to you, I lose the sense of these things in the recollection of ancient times, when youth and health made happiness out of everything. I forget for a while the hoary winter of age, when we can think of nothing but how to keep ourselves warm and how to get rid of our heavy hours until the friendly hand of death shall rid us of all at once." Adams agreed that memories of the past were all that was left, and he too preferred to remember only the good ones. "I look back with rapture to those golden days when Virginia and Massachusetts lived and acted together like a band of brothers," he recalled. "And though the end was near, while I breathe, I shall be your friend."
Did you catch those words? "While I breathe, I shall be your friend." Now, those are among the most beautiful words of friendship that I have ever heard. But there is no way they would have been uttered if the friendship negotiator had not stepped in to help mend the rift between these two revolutionary rivals. And that man, that friendship negotiator, was Benjamin Rush. When Adams left the presidency, he was bitter, he was angry, he was done with Thomas Jefferson. But Benjamin Rush, who was friends with both Jefferson and Adams, began a correspondence with Adams in 1805 that was a game changer. Ellis writes, "The correspondence with Rush, which lasted for 8 years, permitted Adams to confront his personal demons and exorcise them in a series of remarkable exchanges that, taken together, are the most colorful, playful, and revealing letters he ever wrote. Rush set the terms for what became a high-stakes game of honesty by proposing that they dispense with the usual topics and report to each other on their respective dreams." So here's what's going on. Benjamin Rush and John Adams, instead of talking about the topics of the day, say, "Well, what dream did you have last night?" or "What dream have you had in the past?" And they're sharing these dreams. And then in 1809, Rush shared his most amazing dream yet. And his dream was this, that Adams was writing to Jefferson, who had just left office, congratulating him on his public life, which led Jefferson to respond in kind, which led the two old patriarchs to begin a correspondence that would last for years. Two philosopher kings who, in the words of Benjamin Rush, would sink into the graves nearly at the same time, full of years and rich in the gratitude and praises of their country. And to the numerous merits and honors, posterity has added that they were rival friends. When you look at this event, it's amazing because the comment that Rush made about his dream to John Adams happened 3 years before the beginning of the Adams-Jefferson 14-year letter-writing correspondence. I mean, it's absolutely amazing. Rush, the friendship negotiator, was pushing Adams, "Write him." And at the same time, he was pushing Jefferson, "Write him." And ultimately, it was Adams who took the first step and began to write Thomas Jefferson, and history is so glad he did. But it's Benjamin Rush, the friendship negotiator who we need to celebrate and who we need to emulate. Proverbs 17:17 says, "A friend loves at all times, and a brother is born for adversity." And then in Proverbs 22:21, Solomon writes, "He who loves purity of heart and whose speech is gracious will have the king as his friend." And it's great to think of the fine friendship of Adams and Jefferson, but Benjamin Rush was the friend who loved at all times. He was the one who loved purity of heart. He was the one who exercised gracious speech. And in the end, he had the philosopher kings, Jefferson and Adams, as his friends. And in many respects, we have them as friends too because of Benjamin Rush, the friendship negotiator. Hey, some friendships are more than all that they could be because someone did the hard work of the friendship negotiator. I think we all know that the world has enough people who love to celebrate the rifts between other people. What it doesn't have is enough friendship negotiators that do the hard work to mend the relationships of people who are at odds. Well, that's my thought on my walk with Joseph Ellis and Founding Brothers. And I'm sending this to every one of my children, and I'm sending this to everyone on our staff because I think it's that important. But what you do with it, that's for you to work out on your walk through life.